All right, man. Watching a younger sister pray for an older sister would just about make you lose it. Especially when you, if you were here to witness Nina's baptism, it was like, man, it was equally powerful. Just, and then to see all these young ladies, I guess I should say, just see them surrounding and support of their friend and just moved by the Spirit of God. It's amazing. If y'all have a class to go to, you can go. That was like the pinnacle for me. So if you hang with me for just a minute, it'll give them enough time to get into some things that I know Helen and Jack have planned that are awesome on how to hear the Lord's voice. And then I have a word that I believe is going to be really encouraging that honestly, more or less, started to come as I opened this journal that I have, and it popped open to 10-10 of 2019. And I'm going to read this word to you that I wrote as I was in a time of prayer, and I'm going to share some things with you. Y'all are going to have to put those flags down. I'll just be like, I'll be lost here. Here's the word, and then I'll share a few things on it, and I'll probably read from Philippians again. If you weren't here the last 2 weeks, please go back and listen, especially last Sunday. I believe it's just a very deep word in season that probably you need to hear more than once, because I need to hear more than once, and I was the one that said it. But it's one of those that, like, I'm receiving from it as I'm sharing, but please go back. You'll have to do that on the podcast now. There's no YouTube video of last week, but the last 2 weeks are on the podcast. You probably have that app on your phone already, but you can also go on our website, livingtruth.church, and it'll just be streaming on there, and you can click on it, and it'll send you to that, maybe Spotify or something. I'm not sure. But here's the word, 2019. Uncommon kings will build my uncommon kingdom. I know it doesn't look like much, but from the beginning I have packaged things in seed form. We are now in the planting phase of what is going to grow. Even some seedlings are being placed into fertile soil. They've been nurtured in the secret, quiet places of God. You will see new, untainted, radical fruit begin to burst forth from buds and flowers. I will tend this fruit daily and make sure no pest comes near it. I will bring a harvest from this fruit in a peak of ripeness and sweetness. The flesh will be softened, broken, and peeled back. Remember, this is right before we go into 2020. Okay? It's the beginning of the new year on the Jewish calendar, right after the beginning of the new year that I get this word. The flesh will be soft and broken and peeled back. Apostles will do some planting and true prophets will do some watering, but the Lord will cause the growth and increase this time. Or this time it will be my fruit, he says. There will be no mistaking it. Many people will gather to taste of this pure fruit. The tree and outward appearance won't matter. It will be the aroma and the taste of the fruit that will attract people like honeybees to far-reaching scent of an orange grove. No one will be amazed by the gathering of all the trees. No one will be amazed by the gathering of all the trees. They will be intoxicated by the fruit. Young and old will converge in bliss and joy at what they have found almost by accident. Everyone will be able to reach this fruit, and there will be a continual water supply surrounding the whole place. And what I believe that we're in now as a family is the first fruits offering of this word. It's the first crop, and the first crop is brought before the Lord, is brought to the Lord as an offering, and it's our lives being laid down. And it's us allowing him full access, almost like all over again. Almost like you get in that, you might want to get in that tank, but you allow him full access where there's no longer a mixture of within the fruit. There's not a hybrid fruit. A hybrid fruit has no power of reproduction, of multiplication in the earth, right? It may come up quickly, but it lacks the sweetness. And it will damage the tree. And so God's about a maximum yield where he will prune, he'll nip the buds and prune the branches. And that doesn't sound fun because sometimes inside of that, the fruit is scarce, but it's in preparation for a multiplied harvest. And so I know a lot of people have been in just very challenging seasons, challenging times. Maybe you could call it a winter season or something like that. But Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He sits not in the seat of the scornful, nor walks in the way of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, who bears fruit in every season. His leaf never withers, and everything he puts his hand to prospers. So it might get cold, there might be a cold season, but it won't get your fruit. The leaf never withers. It's inside of the life of God. And we're in a moment where we're being asked, I believe, to lay everything down in submission. And I believe the result of this first fruits offering of ourselves to the Lord. You know, Jesus was a first fruits offering. Jesus was a ransom paid. Jesus, in a sense, was a tithe of the Lord to us. And we are the blessed multiplication of the inheritance of the saints, joint heirs with Jesus. He gave everything to have us. And now I believe we step into these moments where it's like, it's going, like it's just crazy. The war, the battle, the struggle, and the tension, and even the pressure sometimes of do I really want to stand in this? And we're being confronted with what's going on in our hearts, the things we believe and the things we thought we believed that we found out we didn't really believe, and being forced to make a decision if we really, really, really trust him. We really want to lay this stuff down. Do you remember the story from the prophet about the water and going in ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep? Over your head. Where do you think you're at in that story? Where do you think this church is? Are we knee deep? Are we waist deep? Are we over our head? If you just came in, to this church, you may be like, yeah, it's kind of over the head a little bit. Not really sure what's going on yet. They seem to be excited about something, though. It's the same Jesus. He's been really, really good. And there's a lot of people that they were dead and now they're alive, you know. And that's a reason for celebration. Always. Always. Not just one day, but I mean always. I believe that Violette started something that will continue always. So, again, I'm going to read just something that I wrote this morning. You're part of an incredible family inside of union with Jesus. This family is becoming increasingly necessary in arriving at God's desired destination for us, us. Let us move beyond waist deep, because that's what I believe what God was saying is that we're waist deep right now, but we still have a measure of control inside of that depth, right? We can walk and move, and we feel something underneath this, and it's like feels secure and comfortable to at least be able to touch, even though we're in some deeper waters. But I believe he's calling us out to a place where we're literally going to be uplifted by him. We're going to have to trust him completely, let our feet leave the ground so we can that we can transition and migrate with him inside of the depth of his love, the depth of who he is, where we can't touch. So anybody want to go out in the deep end? Genie? It's hard to surf the waves if your feet never leave the sand. So let us move beyond waist deep to a place where we are in over our heads. I believe God is taking us there. We will press past the resistance. Or will we press past the resistance and allow him to have all of us? Have all of, if he was to have, what would it look like if he was to have all of me together with him having all of you? In that we actually gave preference to one another in the building of his kingdom. What would that look like? What if you had absolute confidence in the man beside you? I mean absolute confidence in the person beside you, the person building next to you. When you're in a rebuilding phase like Nehemiah was, you have to survey the nation. You have to survey the city. You have to survey where are we really? What is our weak, where are weak areas? And it was a full-on family mission, vision, where the person building next to you affected your life. A trowel in one hand, a sword in the other, right? In this battle of rebuilding, there's a war going on, and every man is important because if there's a breach in the wall next to my family, the enemy can come in. And it's a picture, it's a window inside of the heart of God, the same thing that Jesus is praying in John 17 in a sense of us being one with each other and one with him. And there's something that God is going to rest on that is going to require the building of that, okay? What if there was unlimited resource to meet every need? If you were with us this weekend with Jerry, it's because I invited you, because I realized if I invited everybody that we would not have room inside of someone's house. So it wasn't, don't feel bad if you didn't get to hear some of the teaching that Jerry did. You will get to hear it, just not today. But what if there was unlimited resource to meet every need in this family? What if there was unlimited resource to for every person that was being adopted in to also be adequately resourced? Like when we adopted someone into the family of God, that they had everything that they needed at their disposal immediately as we brought them in through family, not just through a church program. And this is sort of what I believe God is building right now that we're in the midst of. He's taking us to a new place of abundance in him. If your heart can endure the process of refinement. And so inside of there's a gift in the last 2 years of what we've experienced in a pandemic that activates the seed in you that's meant to germinate and bear fruit. You are actually made for these moments. You were made to germinate in the midst of crisis, not fail. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and is buried, it abides alone. If there's no death process, it abides alone. There's no multiplication to reproduce the grain that would sustain many. And so we're in this death process, and the best thing you could do is just start to like it and let God have, like, don't run, just surrender. Like, the quickest thing we could do is realize that if we surrender in humility, grace and favor will be there to meet us. And the highest measure of identification of Jesus, there's a literal voice from heaven, his Father saying, "This is my beloved Son," that they can hear. The heavens open. He's being baptized. "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him. Inside of the highest moment of identity for Jesus, he's led into the wilderness. The end result is power and glory and ministry, but the exchange in between was 40 days without food or water where Satan himself is tempting Jesus. And so sometimes we think that, you know, we fail in the 40 days because we think that we just heard a word from God, so that means everything needs to go perfect. Everything ought to go well, and you're not realizing that the same Spirit that just spoke to you will also lead you through a crisis that will refine your heart to the degree that you can carry the vision and purpose and destiny that God's designed you to walk in. And it's a process that you see over and over throughout the Bible, and we just don't want to get rooted enough and buried enough to let His fruit come forth. So we exchange that, or we trade that for a hybrid fruit. GMO, genetically modified. And we begin to let the world modify the DNA that was designed to bring something sweet for the Lord that hangs off of our life, that comes off of our life. And we don't like it when He prunes the branches. But do you realize, like, if you have a peach tree, and several years into that peach tree beginning to produce fruit, if you just let it produce all the fruit it can, that it will break the branches off and destroy the tree. There may still be some, you know, some branches that produce fruit, but if the branch, which is you, because He's the root, right? If you're the branch and He's the root and it's His fruit that comes from the root, if you're not able to sustain what is meant to come off of your life, He'll nip the buds. And you'll have seasons where the branch needs to be developed because you can only handle as much power as your character is able to sustain. And we're praying for things and prophesying over one another. And the prophecy is the announcement that you're about to go through a time of proving. And nobody likes the time of proving, but it's the place of development where Jesus is standing in the temple at 12 and His parents have been looking for Him for 3 days. And they're saying, "Why did you do this to us?" And He said, "Shouldn't you have known I would have been in my Father's house? And for, 18 years?" It said He went away to be with His mother and father, and He submitted Himself to them, and He grew in wisdom and stature with the Lord. He went through a hidden season for 18 years after He already made this announcement in the temple that day. And then He stands in the temple and reads from the scroll Isaiah. After it's this process that we see in the Word that we don't always like, but it's there. And I believe it's bringing us into a place of great harvest, not just... When I say great harvest, I don't mean like revival services. I mean personal revival. I mean great harvest within your own life, within your own family, within your own children, within your own marriage. That will lead to the rest. But that's really what I believe God is promising us. And I believe He's building a people, building a place of sanctuary, building a place of refuge for a lot of broken, lost individuals that are dead and they're waiting to be found. And we're meant to be supplied with every resource in the heavenly realm. We're already supplied with every resource in the heavenly realm. We just need to know how to access it. And part of that is really a death to self and a complete, absolute yielding to the trust that He's wanting to establish in our hearts. And we have to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at in that process. What you really believe. Is God really as good as what we say He is? Well, I know He could do that, but I really haven't been fasting enough. I really haven't been doing enough, and I don't know if He really cares that much about me. Honestly, a lot of times that's what our heart is saying. I'll just probably have to take medicine the rest of my life. We say things like that, and we resort to things like that, and then we quote scriptures that are totally contradictory to what we've settled for. Well, Praise be to God who always causes us to triumph in his name, and you're depressed. It sends the mixed message, right? The hybrid seed has no ability to reproduce. It shoots up quickly, and it's gleaned, and it's done. But that's not what God is wanting. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways is something I talked about last week. There's still double-mindedness that exists in us. I could point it out to you if you want me to, so I should point it out to you. But there's still double-mindedness that exists, and it creates an instability when it's time to move into the promises of God, where we claim one thing because we know it should be true, but it's not actually true to our heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, something is going to be released, right? So you can tell yourself all you want to that, well, I really think it's, I really trust God. But then every time something goes wrong, he's the last option, not the first, right? Which is, like, it's going to come out of your heart at some point, what you really believe, who you really trust. It's going to show up. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I'm not planning to keep you guys much longer. So like I said, that was why I came today. Philippians chapter 1. I'm just going to read all of chapter 1. Until we get that new projector, because our old one turns out is not going to be able to be repaired. Until we get a new projector, you might want to start bringing your Bibles. It's a good time to jump back into getting in that habit. This is a letter from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. For you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So we're still in a work that's being finished, that's being finalized. It's like you can be made complete, but also still be being finalized. That all the way until the day that Jesus returns, this work is continuing inside of the body. He's bringing us into fullness. He's here and he's coming. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So you see how the fruit just continues to be an essence on your life? And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He's in prison. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. See how pressure and containment actually brings a boldness to release the glory of God in the earth? The more the church is comfortable, the more it's divided. The more the church is persecuted or in conflict or in crisis, the more the church comes together, is united, and actually begins to fulfill the purposes of God. I'm kind of done with a lot of crisis, so I'd just love it if we could all come together and let him fully do this. Y'all want to do that? Like, I mean, just how do you do that? get on your face. Quit thinking so that you've got everything figured out and that you're safe because you have a great retirement account. How's that doing for you right now? Is it 40% of the money since the onset of our nation was printed in the last 2 years? Yeah. So your $1 million is now worth $600,000. We don't put our confidence in worldly riches. We put our confidence in spiritual wealth. And you're looking at it right now. You're looking at it in this room. You're looking at it in that tank. I'm thankful she didn't want to go waist deep. She wanted to go fully in, full submerged. Because that's what it takes. I'm going to keep reading this and then we'll pray. here's what we're going. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. Greed causes that, okay? Greed, because we have built outside of God's pattern and plan, and we start to view the church down the road as competition rather than a family that we're connected to. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ and as I've been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus, Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Well, that's a good one. Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose. See, that's what God is desiring of us right now. Inside of crisis, inside of a battle, coming together in one spirit and one purpose as citizens of heaven. We have to let that hybrid thing die out, where we worship God on Sunday mornings and then we conduct business totally outside of that realm. That's not going to get us to the place of unlimited resource. Everything that you have, you've received. And I think maybe if you got stuck at home, or maybe if you were really concerned throughout this pandemic season, maybe it was a testament to the way that you built your home, whether good or bad. And I believe it's an invitation for full submission, where it's like there an exchange begins to be made, where the intermingling of the world system is extracted, you know, like the wheat and the tares of our life are pulled out, to where the wheat can reproduce and fill in the gaps. But we have to live as citizens of heaven, not merely citizens of earth. We're here, I get it. But this is not our home, right? There's a song on that you could sing. I know. You know what I'm talking about? This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Yep. You have to do that thing. All right. Let's finish this up. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I'll know that you're standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved even by God himself. What will be a sign to them? Your union. The conflict that we're in that is producing not only a personal union with him that is beyond where we've ever been before, but a union with one another that is a sign to the enemy that something amazing is going to take place even by God himself. Not by your favorite politician or prophet. Prophets are amazing at seeing and saying, right, Jerry? Is that how to get it right? Seeing and saying, but without the function of the body and the apostolic, there's no hearing and doing. Seeing and saying, and the apostle hears and does, or what the prophet sees, the apostle builds, is one of the ways to kind of simplify it. What the prophet sees, the apostle builds. But that's all inside of union with Jesus and with one another, where we begin to see that. We begin to see that take place. So don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. You don't have enemies unless you're in a battle. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed. Why do you think they're so upset? Because their day is coming to an end. And the true remnant is rising. And that's us. So I'm getting more and more excited as we go along. For you've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Does it feel like a privilege? You've been given the privilege of trusting in Christ, and that is coupled with the privilege of suffering for him. This really gets new church members. Come suffer. We are in this struggle together. You've seen my struggle in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of it. And you could keep going. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. You don't see that a lot, right? Jonah, you're actually better than me. I don't know at what, but something. No, I do know some things, just not push-ups. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's stand and pray. God, I have great hope and great confidence in what you're doing. And I don't know all of the ways that you're choosing to do what you're doing in the earth. I know one thing. I want to be right in the middle of it. And I want to link arms with my brothers and sisters that are both here or even in the states around here that we're connected to. God, I want us to come together for a purpose. But I know it begins in full yielding, full surrender, humility. That if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek your face, then you'll heal the land. So let us remain long enough in the humility and the seeking of your face to just go full in, all in for you and for one another. And God, I thank you that you have supplied us with all resource in the heavenly realm. That you've not withheld Jesus from us, so how would you not also freely give us all things? Let that be revelation to this body right now. That there is no lack. There's peace beyond comprehension available to you. But you have to surrender the mixture. Where he's good one day and he's the mean boss the next day. Where he's healer one day and then the next day he's caused the sickness because you didn't measure up. When his word says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give you life and more abundance still. Can we just surrender to Jesus today? All of us. Just in your heart, just begin to say, more of you, Jesus. More of you. I need you. I need your grace in my life. I need your peace. I need your ability, not my ability. I don't know how to do this without you, but I believe that you have great dreams for me. I believe you have plans for my life. And I just give it all over to you, for you to direct, for you to truly be Lord. You're not just my escape plan, and you're definitely not just, you're not plan C. You're my entire plan, Jesus. Without you, I fail. Everything is wrapped up in you. I was created for you, Jesus, to bring you glory. Jesus, I want you to be able to trust me. I want you to be able to trust me with your resources. I want you to be able to trust me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to build these in me now. Show me who I am, Jesus. Show me what my family is supposed to look like. Show me, teach me how to raise my children. Let your word be stored in my heart. Let it come to my remembrance in every time where I'm needing direction. Let it be a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Let laughter, joy, be a strength and a medicine even to my bones, to my body. Lord, we need your joy. You said that old things would pass away and that we would begin to behold that all things are being made new. All things, every part, all things. So I thank you for this promise that's true over us. It's true over this family. We give you glory, Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that if you need prayer, just you can either come up here now or you can wait until I dismiss everybody in just a second. But we love to do individual prayer, whether it's you just going, I don't even really know God, or I need help, I need healing. He still heals people. Physically, like all the time. It's amazing. He gives peace too. When you're anxious, you're fearful, he does that. He'll even bring a word in season of your life. So all you got to do is just come up here and hang out and say, I need prayer, and I'll either pray for you, or there's people right along this front row that are looking for somebody to pray for. So number two, we're going to have a worship night March 11th with Victory Bible College, their worship team, and some of their leadership is going to be here on a Friday night. Just making sure that's the right night. But it'll be 7 o'clock on March 11th. So go ahead and mark your calendars for that. I'm going to invite some of the other churches, and we'll do what we normally do, which is have an amazing time March the 11th. 7 o'clock here. Bible college students, if you're already signed up for those Bible college courses, I've ordered books and material for that this past week, and it'll start arriving this week. I did order some extra books. I ordered about 3 or 4 extra books for each class. So if it's something that you've been on the fence about and you never did get signed up for a course, you probably want to tell me, like, now. And I can write your name down, but there's a good group attending each one of those classes. They'll be held on Sunday nights from 6 to 8, starting March the 6th. Y'all good? Everybody? Oh, yeah, here we go. Come on. I thought you had something. We got in a flow last night. I thought you were just going to bring some of that up here. So. Jesus. Those that need prayer, just come on up. Announcements are over. I'm going to dismiss everybody and say, but if you need prayer, want prayer, just come on up. If you want to pray for somebody, you need to come up. Somebody get me Jack and Helen from that class, and we'll just bring all the kids in here. But I want us to pray over Jack and Helen for physical healing over Helen. We need to do that. Jesus, we love you. We bless your name, Jesus. The rest of you, feel free to be dismissed while we get in on the good stuff up here. Y'all go ahead and plan the day out and enjoy the weather. It's beautiful out there today.